It's the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Jack is not here today. He'll be back tomorrow. Fritz versus DeCamera 4 is tomorrow, 11:30 a.m. at Glen Mills School. Have had a few questions whether it will be on YouTube. We are, I believe it will be on YouTube as long as the internet there works the way that it should. But we will be on right afterwards to discuss it. Now, Jack isn't here today, but the top five at five lives.
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With
Jasna, and Jasna, Justin DeRozio.
Oh my God, beautiful five.
Wow.
Wow.
I hadn't heard that one before.
Thank you to Merrill Reese for that incredible intro.
Yeah.
Very glad to have finally been able to use that one. So today we got the top five things that Jerry Jones has said in the last calendar year. I had to create a deadline for this because Jerry's just always talking.
Yep.
And he's always kind of off his rocker.
Yep.
So we're going to start with something kind of recent. You know, Jerry's in constant contract negotiations with star player Michael Parsons, but he doesn't really seem to know his name.
Of all the players that I've ever negotiated with, Michael Parson is as savvy and knowledgeable and understanding of his financial business relative to football as any player I've ever been around.
I've never negotiated a contract in the NFL, but I imagine knowing the name of the player is probably step one.
Michael Parson.
Yeah.
Yeah, we laughed about that a lot when it happened. It's really some old man.
Oh yeah,
stuff.
How old is Jerry? 80?
Yeah, something like that.
Too old to be an executive in the National Football League.
You can't. Yeah, it's just the old man stuff. Michael,
yeah.
It actually sounds the way, sort of like how a Philadelphia fan would say Michael. Somebody's name wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Parson.
Yeah.
You know, we usually add an S here when there isn't an S. But man, like, I wonder if him being so the way he is prevents the players from getting that mad. It's almost like you're...
Yeah, I would think most of them don't usually get mad. This thing with Micah seems to be, feels a little different than the other ones have.
Yes.
You know,
a little more personal.
Yeah, it feels that way. So maybe Micah is taking it a little more personal, but Jerry is just doing what Jerry normally does, which
it's
is
just
talk.
Been Jerry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see Parsons sleeping on the bench on the sideline of the
Not
Cowboys preseason game. Yeah.
Not a good look. I tell you what, that's point spread should be going up for next week.
You still think there's a chance
that he?
Well, we've been very much in lockstep that we believe he will sign the day before the day
yeah.
of.
Yeah, I still think he gets
done. You still think so?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, especially now that Terry McLaurin got paid.
Yes, Terry McLaurin, 3 years, $96 million. So.
All right. So next, this one's actually Jerry clapping back at some Eagles fans. Just a little sarcasm here, but listen to what Jerry has to say.
Keep doing what you're doing, Jerry. We love you, Philly. We love
you.
Hey,
I know you do.
We love you. Especially
I'll try to live up to my standard
Thank
this year.
You very
you
much. Right.
I'm praying that Jerry continues to live to this standard that he's set in the 2020s.
Yeah, just trying to live up to my... Where was that again?
That was at one of the games.
It was on the sideline.
Yeah, it was on the sideline. I remember that, yeah.
It was before the game, I think.
Yes.
I think it was a before the game thing.
Yes, and he was down on the field, I think, before the game. That wasn't last year, was it?
I think it was.
That was last season.
Yeah.
Was that last season?
Yeah.
Was that the that was
it was the home game.
The home game, the Kelly Green game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kenny Pickett started that game.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And we won.
Yeah.
He threw to AJ like 13 times.
So this next one was on the radio, and this was actually a little bit of context for this one. They asked him why not go out and get Derrick Henry in the offseason when they clearly needed a running back, and he got a little biblical with his response.
Okay,
and those are really a privilege. It's kind of like pillow talk. The same kind of question is one that my wife might ask me of 60-something years. Why did you do that? And I said, well, I really don't know why I did that. The devil made me do it.
Lucifer is the only reason that Derrick Henry is not on the Dallas Cowboys.
The devil made me do it. Yeah. I would kill to have a weekly with Jerry Jones.
Oh, man. Yeah, that radio station down there. When we called in upset.
We'll get there.
Oh, okay.
We'll get, no future spoilers. Future spoilers.
How do they not get Derrick Henry last year? I still don't understand it. He wanted to go there.
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember any of this.
He said he wanted to be a Cowboy.
Yeah, he wanted to go there.
He named three teams, and they were the number one team.
Yeah, and they still didn't pony up the money to get him there. I don't get it.
What did he end up getting paid by
$10 million, I think.
Less than Saquon.
Yeah, he got less than Saquon. And I think he only got a 2-year deal. Now, he just redid his deal, just like Saquon did after the year he had last year. But coming from Baltimore, yeah, like, I mean, not coming from Tennessee.
Yes.
Like, Baltimore didn't spend a ton of money on him, and Dallas certainly could afford him.
I wonder when a guy like Bijan Robinson is up for a contract, whether we see a difference in what they pay running backs who are the new special guys. I wonder whether the performance of guys like Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, all these guys that are good, whether it elevates, finally those guys will start to get paid a little bit more.
Yeah, I think Saquon, if I'm looking at the running backs, maybe Jahmyr Gibbs, but I don't know if Jahmyr Gibbs will get it. Saquon is a bell cow.
Yes, Jahmyr Gibbs.
So if you get these backs that, like Jahmyr Gibbs has David Montgomery behind him.
Right.
Right, even Bijan has the Tyler Algier kid down there, right, who they run between the tackles, the number 25, stealing all the goal line touchdowns from Bijan. But Bijan catches the ball so well out of the backfield. Yeah, they probably are going to pay him. Because Penix, you don't have to pay for 2 more years.
I just wonder what the number looks like, because it's almost like there's no context 20. For it. 20 a year, you think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because McCaffrey started it.
Oh,
McCaffrey
right.
got 20 when he went to Carolina, and then
San Francisco.
Then I think Saquon just passed him.
With the extension.
With the extension, yes.
Next is Jerry reminiscing.
What number? This is 2?
This is number 2.
Okay.
Yeah, this is number 2. Next is Jerry reminiscing of the good old days. I've noticed that when Jerry reminisces, he always gets really sexual.
It is a reminder. I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole.
Bring him the glory holes.
I remember that, yeah.
I don't remember.
That was actually while, like, on the media tour for this documentary that just came out.
Does anyone say anything to him?
No, they just let him go. No, because and for great segue, actually, because if you try to say something to Jerry, he might freak out on you, like he did on these hosts on Dallas radio.
Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Could you imagine in 2020? When the Eagles were having one of the worst seasons ever, if you had Howie Roseman on here or Jeffrey Lurie on this station and they told you that your questions weren't good enough and they were going to fire you because of it, he was going to call in and get you fired from your own station.
By the way, it's our station. It's like it's the fan in Dallas. It's not like the Cowboys. There have been, you know, the Commanders used to own their own station in D.C. It's not... If for anyone who heard that, it's not one of those setups.
No.
Jerry Jones can't fire those hosts.
No.
That was the best.
He could suggest it.
He could suggest it. Yeah,
I don't think.
They're still working there.
Yes, they know? Are. They are still. I think he calmed down.
Yeah.
I think he calmed down. I think he wound up coming back on a day or two later. I don't know if he apologized, but he certainly knew he was in the wrong for the way he basically tried to just muscle them on the air. He tried to muscle him on the air.
He says, if you're going to keep asking me questions like this, I'll find someone else to ask these questions. We'll sell our rights to a different station is what he threatened.
That's basically what he threatened.
Can you imagine if we were doing that interview and he said that to us? It would honestly be one of the greatest days of my life.
Yeah, because I know there's no way you're letting that go.
A great moment like that.
There's no way you're letting that go. Yeah.
No.
Me, I'd be like, this is the beginning of the end right here. Yep.
Spike promised me 10 years.
This is the beginning. Thank God we don't have an owner who does that.
No.
Well, because Jerry Jones will call up to the radio station. One time he called up, he was riding around, he was listening. And he didn't like what they were talking about on the air.
And he just called into his disappointment?
Yeah, to address it, yeah.
Now, you remember, he wasn't the owner, but he was general manager. Ruben Amaro used to call the morning show all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. And not a surprise they ended up here, by the way. Ruben, a good talker as well.
Yeah, man. Jerry.
Yeah. Would love to have him.
It's got
to
be. It's a blessing and a curse with that team. It's got to be. Obviously, if you play for the Cowboys down there, you're treated like royalty down there.
Yes. Yeah.
But you're never going to win anything because this dude cares more about the show and his team being talked about and branded the number one brand in sports then he really does care about winning. Like, the winning part of it is that he has the most valued franchise in sports. He's already won.
Right. More Super Bowls aren't going to change his life.
It's not going to change anything.
Yeah, it's funny, too, when you think about the glamour
franchise. He got in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So what else is that? He's won 3 Super Bowls. He's gotten the Hall of Fame. He made Jimmy Johnson wait 30 years to be put in the Ring of Honor.
Like, they would have to get really lucky to win a Super Bowl at this point. It wouldn't be, we got lucky in 17, but that team was well put together, you know, good culture, all that kind of stuff. It seems like the Cowboys would have to get pretty lucky to win a Super Bowl.
I agree. The culture just doesn't say that's what it is. At least to me, with the Eagles, obviously firsthand experience, that one in 17 to me was for all the ones we should have won. Where you had legitimate Super Bowl teams that should have gotten there and should have won, and they didn't. I was a part of 4 of those that didn't get the job done. That's what that one in 17 was for to me. But the confirmation or validation is what they did after that. They went to 2 more Super Bowls and won one. To me, that validates the culture.
Yeah.
Right? Because the winning has never gone down for very long. It may go down for a year, but then they get back up. Right? Like, the culture is there with the Eagles. And with the Cowboys, that culture of complacency is there. You go there and you're like, yeah, I play for the Cowboys, but it isn't about winning. The owner overshadows the head coach, who's the GM. Like, the GM owner overshadows the head coach. Nobody has power in there but Jerry Jones. He tries to operate with intimidation at times. Man, that team is never going to win. That team's not going to win while he's alive. I'm sorry.
And
I won another Super Bowl.
It does show the culture thing overall. You can talk about players, you can talk about managers, you can talk or coaches, talk about general managers. It really does start with the owner.
It does.
It starts with, like, you know, when we were talking to Nick Sirianni last week, he was sort of talking about how he sets culture. And the last thing he said is how important it is for him to live up to all of the things that he talks about, mm-hmm. sort of as an example. I think, like, when your owner is running around, like, if your owner is out of control, I think it's very difficult to have a solid culture within the team.
Yeah.
And the culture being important. And that, you know, one thing I give Jeffrey Lurie a lot of credit for is he lets everybody else get the credit.
Well, he's not out there seeking validation or spotlight or attention or any of that stuff.
Mm, he lets Howie get it. He lets Nick get it. He lets the players get it. And you could just imagine. And when you think about Jerry Jones, when you go back to that Jimmy Johnson thing that you're talking about, he was specifically saying that he was more important than Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
That's what he was saying. I can win a Super Bowl with anybody as head coach.
Yeah.
And I really think him winning that Super Bowl with Barry Switzer was probably the worst thing that could have happened, mm-hmm. because it confirmed,
in
at least
mind.
For 1 year in his mind, that he was the most important thing, you know?
And he was right. You probably could have several other coaches that could have coached that Cowboys team to a title. Barry Switzer was evidence of that. Problem was, you can't find 500 coaches that could sustain a winning culture.
Right.
And one thing I love about our culture here with the Eagles, we've gone away from arguably the greatest coach in this era, certainly top 2 or 3 in this era, and Andy Reid, the franchise's best quarterback in Donovan McNabb, a Super Bowl winning coach in Doug Peterson, and still managed to turn over the culture both times. And I didn't even mention Chip.
And win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, I didn't mention Chip and what he did, but still get back to winning and winning another Super Bowl with a different coach, with a different quarterback, with a different it's the same culture, but different pieces there. Different pieces there. That's a winning culture.
Absolutely.
That's what that is.
Yes, that's how you know it's about the culture, not the individuals.
Yes.
When the individuals can leave and the culture remains.
Still remains.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
This hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Get 40% off all windows and doors. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. I think this deserves a breaking news thing.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Breaking news.
Well, Jalen Hurts is number 19 on the NFL Top 100, and we found out that they fixed the votes. No, I'm just kidding.
Make me sick.
The per Ian Rappaport, the Bengals are closing in on an agreement with NFL sack leader Trey Hendrickson on a new contract per me and Tom Pelissero, making him one of the NFL's highest paid defenders for 2025. It's a big raise. And then he credits the agent like these guys always do. So, well, smart thing for the Bengals to do. Made it more difficult than it probably needed to be, but smart thing for the Bengals to do.
So what they basically did, Spike.
Oh, you have the numbers?
Or, no, I don't have the numbers.
Okay.
It's basically a one-year deal where they basically gave him the highest paid salary for a defensive player this year.
That's it?
Yeah. I'm going by Ian Rappaport's of the Bengals and their star. Trey Anderson went over several options. In the end, they go with a one-year solution to put one of the best players on the field. Henderson is at the facility finalizing it now.
Dude, we should have traded for him. I'm just saying.
So they made him the highest paid player for 1 year.
I'm just saying, if this was
one
about
of the highest paid players.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of.
Yes.
But it's probably a raise from what he had.
Sure. I think he was making $16 million or something. He signed a 4 year deal.
He's probably making at least 32 or 35 now. Yeah.
I'm just, we should have traded for him. If it was only going to take, now who knows what they would have wanted from a trade. If it's only going to take 1 year of money? 1 year of money?
Yeah, I'm with you.
1 year of money?
Yeah.
With an edge group that is led by, no offense to either of these guys, but led by Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt, with a questionable secondary at this point, you have an opportunity. Look, in the since, I think, 2021 or 2020, Trey Hendrickson has three fewer sacks than Myles Garrett, has 1.5 fewer sacks than T.J. Watt.
He's pretty good.
He's 30. He had 17.5 sacks last year.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know what the contract demands were, but or what the trade demands were, but if it was something like, you know, ESPN theorized the third round pick and Jalix Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, yes. No offense to whoever we're going to take with that third round pick and Jalix Hunt.
I agree. I would have done that for Hendrickson, because when you're talking about trying to repeat as a champion, you want those difference makers at all three levels. And yes, we have Jalen Carter on the inside there, but can you imagine how much easier his life would be with Trey Hendrickson on the outside?
And how much easier it makes everybody's life.
Yes.
It makes Mora Ojomo's life easier.
Yes, everybody, because he's going to get the attention.
Yeah.
So now everybody else will get to eat, and the secondary will be better because you got that type of pass rusher up front. Yeah, I'm surprised. I wonder if the Bengals are the only team he would have done a deal like this with.
Because he had mentioned he wanted to, I saw a quote from him, that he wants his wife to know where they're going to be living for the next few years.
Right.
But he doesn't with this.
That's he's back to free agency after this year.
This doesn't give him any assurances after this year. I don't know how the Bengals get away with it, honestly, because even the T. Higgins deal that T. Higgins signed basically guarantees him no money past this year. Like, it was a big contract and a big number, but there was no guarantee pass this year.
Oh, like, yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I don't. Now Trey Hendrickson is kind of like a lot of these players, like Micah Parsons is kind of stuck in that they're under contract to the team. And if they decide not to play, then they lose the $1 million they get paid every game anyway. So maybe they could have told Trey Hendrickson, we're not trading you. But man, 1 year?
Mm.
1 year of money?
Yeah.
I know it's a lot of money. And then when I hear Lane Johnson talking about this could be the last year he plays, it's just like we talk about this window and we have a very young team and it's one of the youngest teams in the NFL and they're very, very good. But the window is not given. The fact that this team's going to be good for 4 years, 5 years, it's not given.
Yeah.
This year isn't even given. But, you know.
Well, and we're going to have our own financial tough decisions to make, because you look at what they've done offensively and they paid everybody over there. Nobody's over there except for the right guard that doesn't make money.
On the offensive side,
offensive linemen are paid.
Yeah.
Both wide receivers are paid. The tight end's making $10 million.
Yep.
The running back's making $20 million. And the quarterback's making $55 million.
Well, and by the way,
we got a $20 million guard. A $20 million guard.
Yeah.
Yes.
And think about this. The wide receiver, the number one wide receiver, will probably look around after this year and say to himself, well, average annual, I'm ninth.
Yeah, now I'm down to 9 and 10, yeah.
Yeah, I'm making the same money as Terry McLaurin. You think I'm as good as, I think I'm better than Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
You know, because you think those guys aren't going to make that forever. These contracts these NFL contracts, they're not really made for these guys to play out the extent of the contract without getting more money.
And we haven't even gotten to the young defensive side of the football where you're going to have to pay Jalen Carter, Quinyon Mitchell, and Cooper DeJean.
And if you decide you have to pay Nolan Smith.
Oh, and I forgot about Nolan Smith.
Yeah.
You got to pay Nolan Smith, right?
Well, we don't have anybody else there.
Yeah. Those are four young players that at some point they're going to be making bigger money. They're not going to be on rookie deals. So you're going to have to balance off like who you're keeping versus who you're letting go.
1 year.
That's not to even mention Jahad Campbell in 3 years.
Yeah, well, let's hope. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers.
Pay everybody.
For a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful, visit the home team at Mark's Jewelers online at marks-jewelers.com. Is this series against the Mets bigger than just a regular season series? 70% say yes. 30% say no. 215.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I know. What are they
thinking? I mean, we have good juice for this game tonight.
Come on. It's the Mets. I hate them that so much. I hate them. 215-592-9494. If you want to talk about the series, which starts tonight, also your reaction to Trey Henderson just getting basically 1 year, and if you think the Eagles should have done something, this is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.